the part of the scriptures that we'll look at today. So we'll turn to that now. But I remind you on Friday, we're turning to Mark 1:1-8. But reminding you, firstly, on Friday, we had Good Friday, the gore of the cross, and the first day and trying to find good in that brutality and the blood which you see. But there is good for us because of Jesus giving of himself. And so we had the darkness of that day and the dawn of that day. A new day dawns the second day on the Saturday. And there's really silence and stillness for the followers of Jesus. Now, it's a little bit hard for us because to empathize or sympathize with them, the trauma that they've just been through. Often we're on holidays on Saturday. But for them, as you think and put yourself in their shoes of what they've just witnessed and what has gone on before them, they sit in the stillness and the silence of that. But there's a third day, and there's the Resurrection Sunday, which we come to today, where there's surprise and celebration the third day. And all their fears are fading away, aren't they? Or are they? Well, we're going to have a look at that. And as I think about that now, I want to just ask you this question. What are your fears as you come here this morning? If you were to do a little bit of a check on what thing is bringing you trouble or bringing you fear today, if you took just 3 minutes maybe to think about that, and if you were to kind of audit your fears, what would you say are those fears that are pressing forward today? For is it for future of your schooling or beyond schooling? Is it for your housing or for your kids in their development and their health? Or is it for a possible death of a partner or a loved one? What are the fears that are rising up as you come to this day? Because there's three ladies that we see in Mark 16, and their troubles are building. And there's three fears that we see here. So come with me and have a look in this short account as we see in Mark 16, if you have it there before you. First one, we see that it is after the Sabbath, when the Sabbath was over. Friday sunset started the Sabbath, and then Saturday sunset finished the Sabbath. And so there was a whole 24-hour cycle where they had stillness, and they did rest, and they enjoyed the relationships that God had put them in. Well, one of the relationships had been broken for them in a dramatic way, so there's all that going on for these women. But I don't know if you've experienced, I had in 2018, I got the experience of being in Israel at a time when they have Sabbath for Jewish people. And it's hard to imagine in our society because we're in a continuous society and nothing really shuts down. But for them, there is a real siesta or a Sabbath, or actual Sabbath rest, which they have. We have there, as you notice, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. There's these three ladies who are mentioned earlier in chapter 15. They are mentioned ones who follow and care for the needs of Jesus, and they witness him. Three times Mark mentions these ladies. And three times he lists these ladies. The ladies are the heroes of the Easter story, right? And we meet them today as we follow them. But they're not without troubles. And they meet some troubles. Now, speaking of ladies being the first witnesses of the resurrection, does that make it more or less credible? Young man, be careful how you answer this question. In those days, it was women were seen as a less reliable witness, maybe because they were less educated, or they weren't really had much chance to be educated in those days, and so they were less reliable witness in the courts of law, or in those days it was more likely that you'd get a man to witness something and say that they were witnesses to it. So in our 10 reasons to believe, Easter really happened, you have one of those, or get one of those on the way out. They're just really helpful. Number five is key witnesses were women. And that being the case actually gives, if you're going to make up the story of the resurrection, you wouldn't use three women as witnesses. You'd do three men there. So it actually gives us more validity and veracity to the resurrection accounts. It's more credible, more reliable, as we see for that in the day. But skipping through to verse 2, we see these women and we start to learn where they're from. It's Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, Magdalene, we think, is from Magdala, and she was healed from the seven unclean spirits, we think, as we piece together the story. I've been there, and if you see, that's on the it's on the sea coast of the Sea of Galilee. And just in the middle there, you might be able to see there's a place that is a chapel dedicated to women and women of the scriptures. It's a great place to go and visit, and it really emphasizes and highlights the stories of women in the scriptures. I had the privilege of going there. Secondly, in the story, but we have Mary, the mother of James. Now, she is mentioned earlier in the fullest sense because we see in 1540, back in chapter 1540, it says, these women were watching from a distance. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph. And so we see her repeated again down in 47. It's Mary Magdalene and it's Mary, the mother of Joseph. Just the singular there, the abbreviated version. And we have the abbreviated version again when we see in 16 verse 1, as we see there, Mary, the mother of James. There were a few James, but it seems that this is not James, a son of Alphaeus or mother of Alphaeus or Zebedee, but it is of Jimmy and Joey, the mother of those boys. Siloam, we see, you can do some more investigation about this, but we see that, is that Joanna or another name for Joanna in Luke's account, or is that Mrs. Clopas in John's account? You can have some study there and make up your mind what you think of that. But that brings me to another point which comes across in our 10 reasons to believe Easter really happened. And number 6 is the accounts vary. And does that make it more reliable or less reliable? Well, if you have colluded accounts, then you know that people have talked together, haven't you, and make up the same story. But here we have different accounts of different perspectives of people who are looking at the story from a different angle. And so, again, we see that it gives it more veracity. It gives us more credibility to the story. Reason 6. Check out the 10 reasons. As we get to verse 2, we see they're early risers. Anyone wake up early this morning? Early risers? I got a few text messages from a few people this morning. I know they were up early. And anyone, 6 o'clock riser? Anyone before 6 o'clock? Is anyone in the fives? Oh, 5 o'clockers. A few parents got a few early calls this morning. Anyone in the fours today? No? Someone went lower. Anyone up in the threes, twos, ones? 12 o'clock. Midnight. Okay. Good to see. The early risers here, it says it's just after sunrise, it says, they're on their way to the tomb. And here we meet their first big trouble, the first trouble that rises in their heart. The first fear is about actually capacity. I don't know if you've had fears about your capacity to do things or achieve things or be able to do something. Their fear is about who will roll away the stone, as they say in verse 3. We meet their first fear. Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? They know it's a hefty one. And the big stone was there to stop grave robbers coming in, to stop wild animals coming in. And so they knew that all the men were missing as well. The manpower was missing because in John 20 we see that they're all in hiding because they're in fear. They're in fear of the Jews. And so we see the fear of the Jewish, the fear of the disciples. From the Jews. But, verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was Well, Mark is normally conservative on his words, but he used two descriptive words here. A mega large stone had been rolled away. And so to their surprise, their fears are alleviated. Their one mega problem was solved before it even started being a problem. Did you notice that? Well, secondly, their second big trouble arises in verse 5, because it moves from a stone being moved to someone before them who they don't recognize, and maybe it's an angel. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. This is their second fear that arises. Who's this person? Who is this talking to me? At the right hand, is this the right hand man, maybe, reminding us of Jesus' words, said that he'll sit at the Father's right hand. But in verse 6 and 7, they are addressed by an angel, and their fears are relieved as he starts to address some of their concerns. Verse 6 and 7, don't be alarmed. The alarm is rising for them. Fears are rising for them. He said, you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Their fears are addressed by an angel. He reassures them, and he reminds them of Jesus' words. This message of truth, this message of assurance, and this message of hope comes to them. And so they are addressed by a messenger, and their fears are relieved. Well, our third fear and big trouble that comes for them, the third big trouble is in verse 8. We see trembling and bewildered now. Fear is gripping them. The women went out. They fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The fear has gone to full blown now that they flee from the situation. And the fear and bewilderment takes over them. Their fear inhibits faith. And momentarily, these women, they're inhibited from trusting Jesus and his words and what he had said to them. Now, 12 times, Mark will talk about people fearing and people fleeing. And actually, Mark himself, we think, is the one who was at the arrest scene when someone grabbed hold of his coat and he ran off naked. Do you have fear of being naked in front of people? Well, Mark had that as well. And 12 times, Mark addresses people's fears and talks about them in flight. This third big trouble is not addressed by Mark. It's not solved or it's not resolved. And you think, chapter 16, what kind of ending is that? We'll come back next week and we'll be looking more at that. But it goes on, I go on to ask you, how is your response? How do you end up when you think about the fears that are here and fears that are rising in your life? If I was to ask you, as we end Mark 16, what are the three biggest fears or troubles you have right now? If you were to identify what they are, if you were to actually take an audit of yourself and the things that are rising in your heart and the fears that are rising up for you, how would you order them, A, B, and C as well? Maybe it's fear that your kids are going to scream and talk too loud and they won't be able to hear the preacher. Don't worry about it, parents. I've got it all under control. What are the fears that are rising in your heart as you identify what they are right now? Name three of them for yourself, A, B, and C. And let me just address those things. The type C fear or trouble. Type C trouble is those ones that we looked at about the who question. Who's going to move the stone? This is a type C one. And actually we see that it's actually fixed and resolved before it's actually a problem for them, isn't it? when the ladies went there. And maybe one of your fears is this type C fear, and it's one that can be resolved before it even becomes a problem. Now, first world problems, your phone stops working. What if someone has given you a phone or gifted you a phone? Three people in my family were gifted phones. And if your phone stops working, it's fixed before it's actually a problem, isn't it? First world problem again, your car stops working, or, you know, your computer stops working. Maybe the Lord resolves these things before they're even a problem by someone gifting you these. Have you had something like that happen? When you think back over your life, for a problem that came to you? Well, there's good reasons to thank the Heavenly Father today and to actually give Him praise and give Him thanks that He resolve some of our problems before they're even a problem. Amen? Well, let me address your type B problems. B-type troubles are ones that are solved with a message or a messenger. Maybe these ones are something that you've faced before. Maybe it's someone has told you, or you found out that you've got cancer. It's confirmed. But actually, there's a messenger, and there's an oncologist who has a message for you to say that this is, a lot of people get this cancer, and actually we've got good treatments for it. Maybe it's financial debt, but there's a message to come to you that the accounts have been miscalculated, and they've been attributed to your account. They've been attributed to the wrong account, your account, and that you're actually not in the debt that you thought you're in. These are the troubles that are relieved by a messenger and the message that the messenger brings. Have you ever had something like that happen? Well, actually thank the Holy Spirit that He works through and beyond all situation and circumstances, and praise God for that this morning, resolved, and how God can resolve things for us. But let us dig a little bit deeper to type A-type troubles or fears that you have. These ones are only resolved by the risen Jesus, I might say that. These are the big troubles, and if you dig down to what they are, maybe it's speaking out or praying out in front of people, deep fears of that. Maybe it is telling others that you actually believe the resurrection because of the response. Maybe it's family or friends, how they'll respond to that. But as you delve down into these deepest fears, they actually paralyze us, and they stop us from action, and they stop us from actually trusting Jesus. They inhibit our faith, as I mentioned before. For the disciples, they had this. They had the fear of death before their eyes. If you went back to Mark 4, and they're in the storm of their life, they're in a boat and in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they think they're going to die. Have you had fear of death yourself, or the death of someone else? Losing someone who you love. They were alarmed, and these are the fears that only Jesus can meet as He says, "Why are you afraid? I'm here with you." He walks alongside you in these fears if you bring them to Him. He gives us hope beyond the grave, hope beyond death. And as Paul says in Philippians, we're in a win-win situation as a Christian. To live is to live for Christ, you win, but to die is to die and to be with Christ. We're in a win-win situation, Philippians tells us, and Paul writes to us. To go on serving Jesus is to win, and to go on to be taken to the Lord is to win as well. The resurrection doesn't magically dispel, but and all these fears that arise in our heart, or this cowardness that arises in our heart, we're all still human, but it can transform, and it can be a transformative moment in our life if we entrust ourselves to Jesus and bring these things to Him. Our fallible human character can be brought to be a faithful follower. Even in the fear of raising six children when your husband has terminal cancer. That was for my cousin. But she sees, she hears, and she meets the risen Jesus. And you need a personal encounter with him, and you need to bring these things to him, these fears that are upon us, and allow him to actually speak into them. The good news is that Jesus is the one who can and has the ability to dispel these fears and to actually give us faith, and we can entrust ourselves to him. So I want to just give you 1 minute now as we finish off. 1 minute to actually think about what are those fears that are rising. Label what they are. Bring them to the risen Jesus. And I'm going to finish in a prayer for us. So close your eyes now and think of what are those fears. Label them. Speak to the Lord Jesus. Take them to him. Bring them to him now. And in the silence of your heart, personally, label that which they are. And let me pray for us now. I want to thank you, Lord and Heavenly Father. Some of these fears that we have identified, you have even resolved before we even walk out this door today. We'll find that these fears that have risen in our heart will be resolved. We thank you that you are so gracious, Heavenly Father, that you even fix a problem before it even becomes a problem. Lord and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're at work in all circumstances and situations, and that maybe even some of these fears that we have brought to you now, that you have a messenger for us in someone to resolve us in a sentence, speak a message into our life that will dispel these fears. Thank you, Lord and Holy Spirit, for working in our life, in our circumstances, in our situation. And Lord Jesus, risen Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can bring these fears to you, and even though they mightn't be resolved now, you walk with us and you talk to us. And Lord Jesus, we pray that as we meet you in the account of your word and in these pages of scripture, the personal encounters that you have with us, we pray that we might hand these fears over to us and allow you to deal with them. And so we entrust them and put them in your hands right now. In the name of the risen Jesus, and the people said together, amen. Amen. Friends, I'm going to invite two people forward to share with us. They're just going to share briefly some of their story. Maybe there was some fear for them. And so I invite Aaron and his wife, Tori, to come forward as they share a little bit of their story and the miracle of new life, which has happened just recently for them. And Saya is here today as well, and the whole family gets to come forward. No fear of being up the front of the microphone. Is it all okay?
Very fearful. Thanks, Church. Trent asked us this weekend if we'd like to quickly share a testimony based on sort of our recent experience. So we won't take much of your time. No, we're itching to get some chocolate. A good chance to just quickly share a testimony about, for us, a miracle and gift of new life.
So there's a baby in there. Her name's Zaya. She was born a few weeks earlier than expected and in a very different way than we expected. Happened on a day that I was already pretty tired and overwhelmed and praying to God just for his provision and protection. I woke up after her nap time and I had pretty significant bleeding, so that was a time I felt struck with fear, a lot of fear. But as God works, he worked in just a miraculous way. Everything I needed was there when I needed it. My mum answered her phone on the first ring, which is really, really rare.
That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
I'd just been prompted to finish packing my hospital bags the hour before. Mum was there within 2 minutes. She got us in the car and we're at the hospital within 45 minutes. But the trip from Ballina to Lismore felt so long, as I just pondered whether the child within me still had a beating heart. And I guess that was just, yeah, for both of us, we felt such fear, but then also a peace. Because with the whole experience, once we got to hospital, she was born within an hour by an emergency C-section, and obviously healthy, praise God. But those 2 hours, just in my head, I just had on repeat, just, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord."
Yeah, and so I guess going through Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm, and plans for a hope and a future." It was interesting reflecting on that and thinking of, I guess, Jeremiah writing to the Jews in exile in Babylon for those 70 years of a lot of just unknown and hurt and pain. But the fact that in that God still had a plan and he was faithful. And for me, linking this sort of the last 6 weeks, it's sort of crazy. And you see it again in the Bible, and we think back to Moses. One of the major things he was saying as he was finishing up was, "Remember the Lord, remember God." Even though it's been 6 weeks, I still find for myself, I actually need to just stop and remember God's faithfulness in and of it all, and no matter the outcome. And I think that links pretty cool with the Easter story and life. And we think, I guess, on the first Easter of Jesus' followers, unsure what was going to happen in those couple of days and whether God had forgotten. But, it was all faithful and good.
Mm.
And I guess for both of us, the experience just made us realise that life here on earth isn't guaranteed. But through trust in Jesus, we're guaranteed a life eternal. And that life is free of fear and free of the pains and hurt of this broken world. So we just hope and pray that this Easter everyone can just dwell on God's faithfulness.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for sharing. I'll invite Richard forward as he shares our one bit of family news, and then we're going to finish off our time together by singing. So thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Trent. I just want to get a piece of paper that'll help me say what I have to say. Some time ago, faithful, quiet man, I'd say he is, not someone that everybody knows, came to me and said, or came to a group of us and said, "I have had a vision of for a men's retreat for Austinville Baptist Church. The men of the church getting together and meeting together and going away together to seek after God." Rob was very passionate. Put your hand up, Rob. He's a quiet man. He's a good guy and doesn't have much to say. So when he had a fair bit to say about this, I thought, gee, this guy's really heard from the Lord. And I went away and prayed about it. And it was very much affirmed that I should be part of it and that others should be part of it in this church. So it's not something that comes easy to me personally, is going away on retreats. I don't sort of do that very easily for some weird reason, but I'm compelled to do so this time. And as the date gets closer, I'm even compelled more and more. And I'd like to invite every man in this room and those who are not in this room that belong to the church or close to the church, to come along and join us, because in October the 25th to the 27th, that's a Friday to a Sunday, so Friday afternoon to a Sunday, probably lunchtime, Rob, would that be right? We're going to go away together to seek God's will for us and to get together and praise and worship him and ask God to change our hearts or to compel us to follow him even closer. On the odd time I had gone away on such retreats, I can assure you that amazing and wonderful and miraculous things happen, because when you get a group of people in one place with no outside distractions and they're there simply to meet with God, amazing things often happen. So we're going down to Lennox Head to a resort. It's a resort, isn't it? Right, yeah, it's at Lennox Head. You'll hear a lot more details about this as the weeks go by. We've got a guest speaker who is has an international ministry. You might want to have a look on the internet for him. Ben Gray is his name. We've been very fortunate to get Ben to come along. So the message this morning is to start thinking about that man of Austinville Baptist Church. Start thinking about that. Talk to Rob about it. Talk to me about it. Talk to others who are, and Trent about it, obviously, because we're going to have a really special time with God.